Well, let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs chapter 3. Our text is going to be a familiar one this morning. Familiar enough that I sort of wrestled with the Lord about it all week long. But I relented because all week long I was thinking about this verse, these verses from Proverbs chapter 3, and I just couldn't get them off my mind. I determined, well, regardless of what I think, the Lord thinks it's important that we look at these passages again. And you know how it is. That based upon what we're going through, sometimes familiar passages take on a whole new dynamic and speaks to us in a special way. And I'd remind you of the words spoken by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he said he would not be negligent to put us in reminder of these things so we be established in this present truth. We need to be reminded of important things over and over again. And this morning, the importance of trusting God at all times. Our text is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let's read that verse together. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Father, this morning we thank you for the treasure of the Word of God. We're thankful that it is like no other book because you have declared it living, life-giving. Jesus said we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. And Father, we would ask this morning in a very special way that you would speak to our heart through the Scriptures, that you would impact us personally with its truth. We acknowledge the fact we haven't arrived. We acknowledge the fact that we don't have all the answers. But Lord, we believe that you do, and we believe that we need to hear your word, we need to be reminded of it, we need to submit to it, believe it, embrace it, practice it in our life. This is the key to having a right relationship with you and walking joyfully. So Lord, I'd ask you to bless your words and the thoughts that you've placed on my heart this morning, that it'd be a help to your people. And we would be very thankful for, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to, this morning, go through these familiar words, these familiar phrases, and point out to you some things that the Lord has impressed with my heart from this passage, as well as getting you to think about the truth of this passage, how it applies to your life. Let's begin by looking at this first phrase in verse number 5, where Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord." For those of you that went through the ladies' Bible study that I wrote initially for India on the study of the book of Proverbs, You'll remember that the interpretation of a proverb, coming to understand what a proverb is teaching, that there are some questions that we need to ask ourselves and answer from the proverb. And one of those questions was, is this proverb giving instructions or is it giving a command? So I'd ask you in this first phrase, trust in the Lord. Is this a statement of instruction or is this a command? Now, when God is instructing us to do something, it's every bit as important when He commands us to do something. When God commands us to do something, we should, of course, immediately obey it. But because this is God's wisdom, if He's instructing us to do something, it is of equal value to immediately follow the instructions. Are you with me? But what I said in the material, that there is a distinction between a command and instruction in the tone that it is communicated in. A command is very succinct. It's very direct. We could even say it is curt. Do this, don't do that. Where instruction, the tone of instruction is more an admonishment. And though I would agree this is, the Lord is commanding us to trust Him, I believe the tone of it is instructional. Now let me show you why I say that. Look, if you would, at verse number 1 of the same chapter. The context. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Do you hear the tone of this? This is the tone of a loving, heavenly Father. Not just telling us what to do, but admonishing us, instructing us, explaining to us what we need to do, to successfully navigate this life that we have been called to. Solomon says, trust in the Lord. How would you define the word trust in your life? I'm talking about just in a practical way. Now let me say something before we go down this road. We don't interpret the Bible, okay? God interprets the Bible. So when I say, how would you define the word trust? It's not the same thing as me saying, how do you feel about this verse? It doesn't make any difference how we feel about a verse. We're supposed to believe it whether we feel like it's true or not, whether we're comfortable with it or not. So when I say, how would you define the word trust in your life? I'm not giving you the liberty to establish your own theology. What I'm asking you is, what is your comprehension of what it means to trust the Lord? Now let me give you some biblical synonyms for trust. Faith. Faith and trust are synonymous. Have faith in the Lord. Put your faith in the Lord. How about the word reliance? Reliance. Rely on the Lord. How about depend? Depend upon the Lord. I guess probably my personal favorite, the definition that encompasses all these things is confidence. Place your confidence in the Lord. So how would you, what would be the word or words that you would use to define trust in the first part of verse number 5? But you know, even confidence for me doesn't do the word trust justice. Because the word trust to me seems to be in a category all by itself. Trust is a very singular word. Trust speaks of an unwavering confidence. Even on the rare occasions where we say that we trust another person, it's always understood that that person that we say that we trust is not perfect. And I imagine for most of us, it's set in the context of our personal experience and hurt of trusting someone that disappointed us, that let us down. So when we speak of trusting an individual and speaking of trusting God, hopefully we're talking about two entirely different things. But you understand this is a problem that people have, often from their childhood. That they were born instinctively feeling that their parents were trustworthy. And in some cases, it's not just a case that their parents were imperfect, but they miserably failed. Scarring those children, making them skeptical of trusting anyone in their life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It might not have been your experience, but you understand the concept of children, and their just blind willingness to trust adults, and then adults abusing that. And how that could set the tone, not only for future human relationships, but even more importantly, could set the tone for this matter of them trusting God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Right. Trusting God is something that is altogether singular. It's altogether unique. It is having a absolute confidence that God will be true, that God will be faithful, that God will always do the right thing and always lead us in the right in the right way. That it is impossible for him because of his character to be anything less than trustworthy. Solomon says, trust in the Lord. Do you understand this morning? If the Bible would exhort us to trust in the Lord, then God knew and knows that we will find ourselves in situations and circumstances whereby we need to. This religious idea, this perverted idea, this unbiblical idea that being a Christian is a charmed life in the sense that we never face any hardship. We never face any opposition. We never face any difficulties. We never find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. Folks, it is nonsense. If the Christian life is charm, that God in His sovereignty just makes a path for us that is perfect, it makes logical sense, it's just all hearts and roses. Rainbows and unicorns. Then why would we need to be admonished to trust in the Lord? And if God is telling us to trust Him, it is with the understanding that we will face circumstances that is going to be the only way through. I think of the story, we won't take the time to go to it. Many of you are familiar with it, just reminding you of the story will be enough. Others, I would encourage you to read it this afternoon. John chapter 11 and the death of Lazarus. Read that story. Put yourself in the place of Lazarus. Put yourself in the place of Mary and Martha. They send word to Jesus. Jesus gets the word, doesn't come, Lazarus dies. And everybody surrounding the death of Lazarus is struggling with it, because when Jesus shows up to the person, everybody blames him. Nobody understood that there was a great work that he was accomplishing through the sickness and the death of Lazarus. But let me tell you, truer words were never spoken for a family than Solomon's admonishment, trust in the Lord. You don't understand what's going on, but you know God and you know He's trustworthy, so you need to practice your faith. I would remind you of two inseparable facts. And if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write these down. Number one, the importance of knowing what God says in your time of need. The first fact is knowing the importance of what God says in your time of need. No man, Jesus says, lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, where all in the room can see the light. And Jesus states this parable in the context of the parable of the sower. A parable that is specifically talking about the way people receive the Word of God. The God who spoke into this darkness did not intend for His Word to be buried. He'd intended for it to give light to those that were in darkness. The reason we preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. The reason we admonish one another to read the Scriptures, to study the Scriptures, to memorize the Scriptures, is whereby you might know the Scriptures in your time of need. The Word of God is a tremendous asset when we face the storms of life to know what God has said. And the Word of God can help you in the storm if you haven't hidden it in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there is a second fact that is equally important and inseparable to this first fact. It is the importance of applying what God says in your time of need. What good is the Word of God if you know it and you don't apply it? Remember the story of Ruth? Naomi, the Jewess, was spiritual enough, reflected and had taught the truth of Jehovah well enough in the presence of Ruth, when Naomi loses her husband and her sons, one of them being Ruth's husband, and a decision had to be made, go home to my family or continue on with Naomi, Ruth made the decision, I will follow you and the God of Israel. Naomi at one time had quite a testimony in Ruth's life. But you read Ruth chapter 1 and you listen to Naomi and you ask the question, why would anyone want to follow this bitter old woman? And I'm not exaggerating. She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitter. In chapter 1, the individual with dynamic, outspoken faith is not Naomi. Her speech sounds like the speech of a lost woman. The person with faith is Ruth. She had heard. And now in her sorrow, Ruth is applying the very Word of God Naomi had taught her. But in Naomi's need, you know what she's doing? She's applying her feelings. She's applying her circumstances to the situation and speaking accordingly, instead of proclaiming the truth of God's Word and standing firm on it. So the two inseparable facts that we must remember when it comes to this matter of trusting in the Lord is to know what God has said, where we know what to believe. And number two, when we face those times of need, that we don't forget what we have learned, that we actually apply it to our lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? Years ago now, when I taught through the book of Ruth, I entitled this subject, that experience has taught me as a pastor that often mature people don't behave very maturely. And I was referring to this very fact. People that know what to do could instruct others what to do. When they face it in their life, they act like they're absolute heathens. Like they don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about His promises. The Word of God is at a value to us when we go through the fire and we're actually applying the truth that we said we believed before the trial. Trust in the Lord. Remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. This word strange, English word strange, is translated from a Greek word, both times in verse number 12, that means foreign, as strange as in stranger. And Peter's admonishment is, we should not think it a foreign experience when we face, the way he describes the trials, not just generic trials, fiery trials. Sometimes we as Christians not only are tried, sometimes we go through fiery trials. And Peter says we shouldn't think the experience is a foreign thing, a strange thing. As if some foreign thing has happened unto us. Solomon would pen, trust in the Lord, because there are things that we face that is exactly what we need to do. It is the only way through. It's the only formula for success. You know, with this phrase, trust in the Lord, it's a warning not to place your trust in the wrong place in your time of need. Just look a little bit farther in the verse, and lean not unto your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. The warning, don't lean unto your understanding. But look, if you would, at verse number 7. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This matter of only trusting in the Lord might seem obvious, but the behavior of individuals lost and saved alike tell us that it's obviously not. There's a nature within all of us that views God's and God's ways as a last resort. That, in other words, when I face difficulty and I have exhausted every possible means of getting through the difficulty, and everything has failed me, then at that point, it's time to trust the Lord. No, no, dear one. Save yourself the frustration. Save yourself the heartache. It's talking about the attitude that we live with. Is not all of a sudden we trust in the Lord when we face difficulty. It's the fact that our constant attitude is one of trusting the Lord. And when difficulty comes, then it's just our response, like at all other times, I trust the Lord in my difficulties. I don't rely on anyone or anything else. Pride causes all of us to think we can handle the circumstances we face in our own wisdom, through our own ability and in our own strength. And we try to do this until God graciously allows us to experience circumstances that are completely and totally overwhelming. And He does this to teach us that He is the only one that we should be placing our trust in. Hold your place here. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. Again, this portion of Isaiah is a familiar passage, but it's such a wonderful truth. No matter how often we hear it, we can't exhaust the encouragement that we find from it. Isaiah is the recorder, but God is the one who is speaking first person. And I want you to listen to what the Lord says to you this morning. Isaiah 40 in verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Don't you know this? God says to you. Hast thou not heard? Have you not ever heard this before? The everlasting God, the Lord, the same Lord of Proverbs 3 that you're supposed to be trusting in. The Creator of the ends of the earth. The God of Genesis 1 that spoke the world into existence out of nothing. And might I add as a footnote here, often God reminds His people that He is Creator of heaven and earth when they're facing difficulties that are too great for them. To remind them of the fact that nothing is too hard for their God. He is the Creator of all things. That this God fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. In other words, He understands everything. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. This is played off of verse number 28. When God says, haven't you heard that I don't grow weary and I don't faint? In fact, not only do I not grow weary and I don't faint, I am the God that gives strength to those that are weak. I am God that upholds those that are fainting. Verse 30. Even the youths, that's the young people. The young people who are so strong and so determined and have so much going for them, even the youth shall faint and be weary. And young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. The point is, even in the life of the young, even in the life of the strongest of us, they come to a point that they are overwhelmed by their circumstances. It's not about us. It's not about how wise we are. It's not about how determined we are. It's not about how resourceful we are, because it does not make any difference. Life can deal out to us things that bring us to the end of ourselves. But our God is the God who enables the faint and the weak not just to muddle through, not just to get by, get past, but to soar with wings like eagles through our circumstances. It's the contrast between the old folks and the young folks. Even the young folks get overwhelmed, but let me tell you something. With God, even the old folks can soar. Why? It's not about our strength. It's not about our wisdom. It's about waiting on God. And that term, waiting on God, is synonymous with trusting God. Living a life that is demonstrating that you trust God. Notice the next phrase in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord, notice, with all thy heart. Just notice those two words, thy heart, that phrase, thy heart, with thy heart. This is emphasizing that trust is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of faith. Trust doesn't have to do with our circumstances, our feelings, public opinion, or what the world says. Trust is a matter of what God has said and our belief in what God has said in our hearts. And notice Solomon describes it as an unwavering trust. He says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. This is referring to the need for us to constantly and consistently trust God. And you know why we have to be admonished in this way? Because we have a tendency to start out trusting God and our trust wane when the difficulty doesn't pass as quickly as we hope it will. Trusting in the Lord completely and not wavering. And if you're a child of God this morning, you know as I know, God is worthy of this kind of trust. He is worthy of us absolutely and completely and consistently trusting Him regardless of our experience. Look at the latter part of verse number 5 because, again, we have this warning placed on our putting our trust in wrong places. He says, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Though this is clearly a warning, don't lean to your own understanding, it is indeed also a wonderful promise. Do you understand when it says, lean not unto your own understanding, that God is promising success without you understanding? Isn't that an interesting thing? You don't have to understand anything to be spiritually successful in trials. You don't have to figure anything out in order for things to turn out right. If you will trust God with all your heart, the promise is that God will be faithful to you. Now, I'm not encouraging stupidity and I'm not promoting ignorance. But I'm just addressing the fact that conscientious Christians who are serious about their relationship with the Lord and living a life that is pleasing to God often find themselves in circumstances that they're just bewildered. You know, that's the term that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The great Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 said he knew what it was to be dismayed. The man responsible for receiving direct revelation from God could say, open face to us, I know what it is to be dismayed. Well, let me encourage you. This verse, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, is telling you, you don't have to have all the answers. Because you can trust the one who does. You don't have to know how everything is going to work out because you've got a relationship with the God who has everything worked out. That when you are bewildered, when you don't know what way to turn, what you need to do is get down on your knees and acknowledge God. Because look, if you will, what he says in verse number 6. In all. This comes from a Hebrew word that means everything. In everything, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. You'll notice that there are two references made to the path that we tread through life in verse number 6. The first is here, thy ways. It comes from a Hebrew word that means road. The second is the latter part of verse number 6, where it uses the term thy paths. And it's talking about a small path. Solomon says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. This word acknowledge means to recognize God's place. Recognize who God is. Recognize his relationship with you. On all the roads you travel, live in an attitude of recognizing, acknowledging God. And here's the promise, and he shall. He shall. He's the one that'll do it. Because in the context, you don't know what to do. All you know to do is to trust God. And God says, in the trusting, he shall direct or make straight, make orderly thy path. This week when I thought about these two roads, the difference between them, thy ways and thy paths, one being a larger road, one being a smaller road, my thoughts immediately turned to India. On Sunday morning in India, we meet. The English congregation meets just like we are this morning. On Sunday night, the Kannada, the local dialect service, meets just like we do on Sunday night. But during the week, they don't have a midweek service per se. But often what we would do during the week is, of an evening, we would go to individuals' homes. And people would know that we're coming. And it wouldn't be just that family there. It would be several families there. And we would have a church service in the home. Mangalore is a big city. Over 5 million people. Sometimes when you're in the city, it looks as modern as any city that you have ever been in the West. But often to these meetings, we would be traveling on a major city road with hundreds of people, hundreds of vehicles. And the next minute, we would pull off to the side of the road. And we would be told, okay, from here we're going on foot. And we would leave this main road, this busy road, and we would turn down this little path. And 5 minutes down this path, you would think that you were in the middle of the country, not a big city. There would be overgrown vegetation. The path would be rough. There would be houses encroaching on the path. Pass so narrow at times that only one of us could pass. Or if you met someone, you had to step aside to let them. And we would walk this path for 10 minutes or so, and then we would turn into the yard of the person's house that we were having the meeting. Going from a major road to a minor footpath to get to our destination. And Solomon says, the Word of God says, this is the way our life is. And it doesn't make any difference whether spiritually you're on a thoroughfare. God is capable of leading you if you trust Him. You don't have to know where you're going. Remember, Abraham is commended for his faith, for he left Ur of the Chaldees not knowing where he was going. But God knew where he was going. And because Abraham trusted God, God led him to where he is supposed to go. But folks, let me tell you something. There are times that our path takes a very singular, narrow, personal path. No one else is walking with us or beside us but God. And He promises to direct us on those very personal paths as well.
Right.
If we will trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Folks, there's a lot of uncertainty around us. A lot of uncertainty for our country. A lot of uncertainty for the future. And because we are people that like to be in control, sometimes we really struggle when God makes it apparent to us we're in control of nothing. Instead of getting frustrated, instead of getting mad because things aren't going the way they would go, you think, if you were in charge. Stop fretting and trust God. God is bigger than all the mistakes of men. No one ever frustrates God's will. The worst that men can do simply plays in to the orchestration of God's eternal plan. Just relax. Rejoice. God is trustworthy. And might I say in closing, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, though it so often is used as an admonishment, as it has been this morning, to Christians to live their lives trusting God. Do you know that this passage is applicable to salvation as well? When it comes to being saved, there is only one that is worthy of your trust. It is not a pastor. It is not a priest. It is not a church. It is not an organization. It is the Lord. And the one that you need to be trusting for your salvation exclusively is Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you're trusting in Jesus as you should be, your heart doesn't have room for being trusting anything else. Like Jesus plus baptism, or Jesus plus living the right way, or Jesus plus going to church, or Jesus plus this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. It's not about you. It's not about your good works. It's not about your determination. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, did everything necessary to completely save you for all eternity and keep you saved. You don't have to understand that. You don't have to try to figure it out. You just need to trust Christ. Believing when he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believing that he said that those that have trusted him have passed from death unto life. Folks, in uncertain times, the message you need to hear over and over and over again, like I have heard it this week, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Stop leaning on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He has got you on a course. Just trust him. Just trust him. Father, this morning we thank you for your precious word and the admonishment of a loving Father who longs for us just to trust him with all our concerns, with all of life. Father, we pray that as your people have heard you this morning, that they would respond to you in honesty and faith. You'd be glorified and they'd be the better for it. For we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.